As we approach the throne in prayer this morning, I want you to have an opportunity to meet God in your prayers. To acknowledge and understand that we are in His presence. That He loves us so much. That He cares so much about His creation. That this God, our only God, the only God out in this universe, in this world, in this existence, loves you so much, wants to have a conversation with you this morning. He wants to know your hurts. He wants you to know that He's here to carry them with you. Your frustrations, your losses, your burdens. He is with you this morning. He also wants to celebrate with you today the wins that you have, the blessings that have been bestowed upon you. He wants to celebrate that with you. This morning, this is the time as we lifted our voice up in praise. This is our time to also lift our hearts up to be molded and shaped, to pour out so He can fill it back in. Bow your heads with me, and let's meet God at His throne. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning. Lord, I pray that it is such a sincere thank You for today, to be in Your presence, to experience Your holiness. Lord, I pray that we are overwhelmed. Lord, I pray that that as we pour out our hearts, in those moments that we feel alone, as in those moments that we've been in the desert for so long spiritually, Lord, may we understand that You are right beside us, loving us, wanting to carry our burdens, wanting to hold on to us. Lord, this morning, help us forgive those that we need to forgive. Help us restore relationships that we need to be restored. Help us be what You've called us to be, to go out and be Your disciple and disciple others. Give us the courage to live out our faith. Help us have the eyes for those who are needy and need our love. Lord, let us be the church that connects to You, that grows closer to You and serves You. Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings this morning, may it be given out of a heart of joy, not just obligation, not just because, but we are giving with a mind and a heart that knows we are doing this because You love us. We are doing this because You have blessed us. We are doing this despite the situations that we are in. We do this because You love us. May we give with a heart of joy. Lord, I pray for the rest of this service. May it glorify You. May Your words be spoken. May we receive Your touch. May we receive Your message. And we give You all the glory. Amen. Welcome. I do have announcements. I didn't bring them up. This is so unprofessional. Sorry. All right. Tyke time If you feel like you're age 6 and below, and you want to have fun, right, and play with toys and hang out with parents, they are always taking volunteers, right? Is Gloria in here? All right, Pastor Dory, she's here. All right, always taking volunteers. This Tuesday from 9:30 to 10:45, we're playing with kids, we're inviting families. I just want you to know, it has been jam-packed, and they're just having fun, and people are always getting arrested. I love it. It's awesome. Pastor Dory is always being arrested. I feel like they know something, all right? Anyway. Such an exciting ministry. We're touching the little ones and their families, just loving them with God's love. And I'm excited about what God is doing in that ministry. Also, we are praying for the schools. Friday, August 11th, our youth group. And I'm going to challenge this, and I'm throwing it on them right really quick. But the youth group is going to go to some of the schools around in the area, and they're going to go pray at these schools for the next school year. I would challenge you, it says it right here, at 9:30 a.m. August 11th, if you're not working, if you want to take some time, this is an awesome thing for our church to do all together, all right? You could drive yourself, just come and meet in the office, and you'll find out where we're going, or you can join in the car with somebody if you trust us, driving you, kind of deal. We'll just go around to the schools, and we're praying for the next school year. We're praying for our teachers, we're praying for our students, we're praying for our administration. You know, this is an area that they need all the prayer they can get. It's not easy to be in the education system today, right? And they need God's love, they need God's mercy, they need God's grace more than anything else. And guess what? If we're praying it, God's going to also send us messages, send us to be the mercy and grace and love that they need. But it starts with us taking the first step, not just our youth group, which is an awesome thing that they're leading the way in this, but it takes a church that's active in their community, showing God's love and fortitude and going out and praying for these schools. So I highly suggest that. Soul Sisters is coming up Saturday, August 12th at 7 a.m., they're going shopping. There's a sign-up sheet, right? Sure. All right. All the rest of it, I believe, Bless Our Backpack service is August 13th. What that is I'm going to have you bring, if you're a student, I don't care if you're an old student or young student, bring a backpack, bring any kind of bag that you use to carry all your books and whatever, right? And we're going to bless it. We're going to bless you. We're going to pray over you because this is also what we believe. We believe as you're going to school that you're missionaries in your school. You're missionaries where you're at. And we are charging you. We want to pray for you. We want to send you and equip you, right? And that service will be doing that. So don't miss out on that service, church. Be there because that's an exciting service too, all right? Care ministry, right? Miss Vicky, stand up. No? You're so active at like saying, the one that always yells at me during service, all right? All right? All right? This is a ministry that really focuses on the opportunity of reaching out to our people and loving on them. And nobody should be left behind. And she runs a team. It's not just her, she runs a team that does this. You get a letter, you get a card, you get a phone call, you get these things to express that we love you. Thank you so much. Right? Did I say it all? All right, for once. Did you hear that? I'm right. I'm going to take it. All right. All right, those are our announcements. Welcome, church. I'm glad you're here this morning. We're going through, this is our last sermon. Not necessarily our last sermon on holiness ever, but this is the last one of this series, all right? And we're going to talk about holiness as a church, what it looks like to be holy as a church. First off, I want to ask really quick if you had any moments this week personally that were holy, that were set apart, that you know that you met God in that moment, that you intentionally set this moment to go, okay, I saw God, I was with God, I experienced God. Man, just show a hand if you had that. All right? Praise God. That's so awesome. That is so awesome. God is working, and it's cool, too, that you recognize it, that you experienced it, that you realize it, too. The other aspect of this is half the time we don't even recognize that we're having moments with God, that God is intervening, that God is stepping up, that he's setting this moment aside for you personally to be holy, and you might not even know it. It might be 20 years from now, you look back at something last week and go, man, God was working. And it's never too late to give him praise for that moment. But I believe it is our duty to acknowledge it and praise God when we have the opportunity. So I highly encourage those that do recognize it, man, praise God for those moments. Give him the glory for that. Let him know, man, I saw you, God. You made that a holy moment, and I thank you for that blessing. I thank you for that opportunity. And as we've been talking about, if you remember, Lamentations is what we've been talking through, right? Lamentations, this verse, Leviticus, not Lamentations. Woo! I'm still waking up. Leviticus 11, 44 through 45. Let's see if I can read through this morning. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by the creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. All right. First and foremost, in all the sermons that I've given, our connection and our understanding of what holiness means, first off, is set apart. All right? And God is set apart from all this fallenness. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be here to show us what life is all about with him. All right? And we are called to be holy because he is holy. All right? And we talked last week what that means for us to be called to be holy, to be set apart, to be this prize, to understand that God loves us so much that he is prized. He's given us as this gift, and that we are his gift, to understand that. And I want to talk about this in terms of what holiness looks like in the church, right? Growing up in the Nazarene church, my mom was always a Nazarene, but I fought it for a while, and then I turned, and I'm good now, all right? There we go, all right. But I fought it. You know, I wanted to sleep in on Sundays. I wanted to watch cartoons on Sundays. I didn't want to be here because, you know, some goofy guy was going to be on stage, or lady was going to tell something and I was going to fall asleep. And I'm trying to make, I will go sit next to you if you fall asleep. I'm just kidding. All right, I heard that snore. I see you, Peyton. I heard it. Anyway, but I just want you to know, like, I understand that aspect of it. And I remember going with my mom one time to a camp meeting, all right? And the early Nazarenes were a little bit crazy, if you remember. Anybody remember the earlier Nazarenes? Anybody part of the early Nazarenes? Anybody have their hankies ready this morning? Still waiting for that. You got your hanky ready? Now, for those that don't understand, they used to have these, especially revival services, but camp meetings would be this time that you get all these pastors together and you get all these lay people together from the district, and they come together, and all of a sudden, the most holy of holy moments is happening because all those pastors and all those lay people were there. Now I'm being a little facetious, but there would be a great sermon, great music, and all of a sudden you would start to see people run up and down the aisles. And they'd throw their hankies around, and God was moving, right? Can you imagine that today? You're like, okay, you can. I think some of us might say, security? Anybody? And then you might leave that morning and go, what was wrong with so-and-so? I'm just running around, what's going on, and screaming and yelling, right? Now, what was happening in that moment was a holy moment. Like, it was a set apart as a church to understand, hey, we're here to serve God, and we're excited. We're excited to be in his presence. We're excited to be in this moment together, and it was holy. And it didn't matter how you looked. It didn't matter how you acted. It didn't matter those things because you were just blessed with the Spirit to move. Okay? Now, I want you to know, I'll keep referring it. 12,000, 10,000 teens were jumping, screaming, hollering because the Holy Spirit was moving a couple of weeks ago in Tampa, Florida. To a point like the whole stadium was moving. Right? And it was exciting. And it was, God's Spirit was definitely moving. And you want to know what a lot of the teens came back were saying? It was like, man, I want that party at home. They called it a party. Right? Yeah. Uh-oh. Like, that's, some people might have that mentality. Like, this is holy. We don't run. We don't jump. We don't high five and knuckle. We need to make this holy. In fact, Pastor, you need to probably put a jacket on and wear appropriate shoes. Right? I see that, Kent. Yeah, yeah. Like, we get this impression of what holiness is, especially as a group, right? And do you know the Nazarene Church, especially in here, we had orange carpet? If you go upstairs, I challenge you, go upstairs. Not all of you, I'm scared, if all of you go up there. But we have orange carpet still up there, dated from like the 60s. Am I right? 70s, all right? And like the Nazarene Church made this whole big decision as a body of believers saying, orange, it's holy. And every church will have orange. And if you go to in some of the older churches of the Nazarene, they have orange carpet too. It wasn't just us. Now, do you understand? And I'm being facetious this morning because this is so crazy in the mindset of being in church that when churches like change the color of their carpet, it can divide them because they get angry and they get attached to what isn't holy but claim it holy. Do you understand that? And they leave because of something like that. Like, that's scary. That's not what holiness is. That's not what God desires. It's not what God is putting his... That's not what Jesus was sent to die on the cross for. He doesn't care about the color of your carpet. You know what else he doesn't care about? If we have pews or seats. Like, these are hard truths sometimes because, man, we get so invested sometimes in the things that we think is church. Am I right? Now, again, one of the coolest stories I've ever heard, I won't do it, because boy, that's it, that, whoo, it takes some guts to do what this pastor did. They just built a brand new building, multi-million-dollar building, and it was an awesome building, and it fit all their needs, and it was immaculate, it was beautiful, and people were coming in and using it. And guess what they were doing? They were scuffing the walls. They were dirtying up the place. And you know what? It started happening. People started getting really upset about the church being messed with and it not being clean. You know what this pastor did? And it was like within a month of opening up this facilities and welcoming them in, he shut the doors. And he made everybody meet outside for services. And explained to them again what church is. Listen to me. It's not a building. It's not an address. It is the people of God that come together on this day to worship him alone that makes this the church. Now, I understand. God has blessed us. We take care of it. I get that. I totally understand that, but we don't do that at the expense of what God has given us with people. All right? If we're doing ministry and things are knocked over, and I will tell you, 20 years of youth ministry, I'd rather our doors be open to 50,000 teens and they just wrecked the place and they heard the message of God and like 30 of them changed their life to follow God. Well worth it. You believe that? Like, that's what holiness is as us. All right? That's the holiness of us, is not the things in which we attribute holiness to. The only thing that we can attribute holiness to is God. And therefore, if we believe that, guess what God makes in you? Holy. He has set you apart to do his work. Imagine that too, understanding this is not a job interview like any other job interview. You come before him, he goes, one question, do you believe in me? Do you know that I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Yes. Okay, I got a mission for you. I'm going to put you in charge of this church. I'm going to put you in charge of this ministry. In fact, you're going to go into your neighborhood and you're going to love on people that you've never loved before. You're going to talk to people with the message and the gospel, and you're going to feed the needs of your community because you have that heart, and I'm going to charge you to do it. And you know what? There's two ideologies with this that we can carry and go, oh, man, really? I have to do that? I don't want to. Pastor can do that. My Sunday school teacher can do that. Somebody else can do that. And there's the other thing. Or you're just reluctant as you go and do it. I got to go and share the gospel with them. Hey, knock, knock, knock. Love you. God loves you. I did my job. It's not what we're called to do. First off, I believe every single one, I've heard you, I've talked with you, you're very creative people, you're very smart people, God has given you gifts and talents, and guess what he wants and expects out of you when you do believe that he is the way, truth, and life? To use those to glorify his name. In church, that is what we are called to do. That is what we are called to do. We are not just called to show up on a Sunday morning, which I started thinking about this. There's been arguments of what Sunday is. Really quick, by a show of hands, is Sunday the end of the week? Is Sunday the beginning of the week? Okay. I want to give you a mindset here. I believe it's both. I think it's paradoxical because I think we come in carrying the weight of last week in this service and go, God, last week was horrible. My boss was horrible. My coworkers were horrible. My parents were horrible. Everything was horrible. I'm drained. I'm tired. And you're still calling me. And we show up and we really fill that cup with the Spirit. And then it's the new, and we leave and we go, this is the newness, and I'm ready to go with him. Do you understand the paradox in that? Like, I believe it is the end in the beginning, right? And how biblical is that? Who is the end in the beginning? God. Think about, we give God this day. And there's been debates like, this is the end of the week, or this is the beginning of the week, right? It's both. In church, we come here to do this together, and we do this because he sets this moment apart from any other moment. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here for ourselves. We are not here for anything else but God alone. And he sets this moment apart. You understand that? Let's read some scriptures here. 1 Peter 2 says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Wow, those are awesome things right there just to celebrate. Like, these are the things that we are. We are chosen people. We are the royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, God's special possessions. I could leave it right there and say, go home and understand that. Realize that this is what this morning's about. Like, God has chosen us. Wow. Man, that's a message of hope right there. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. Once you were not people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise God. Now look at this. Look around you. Look at the people with you, right? Now it's easy to go, man, I can judge you. I know their faults. I know their issues. Man, we are all in the same boat. We need God's mercy. And nobody in here is different from that. We get it, we understand it, and we share it, and we embrace it. Like, we are all on this journey in a different form. But the reality is this, we're all going in the same directions, hopefully, and if we are, and we pick each other up and carry when those are dead, tired. We pray for each other, we encourage each other, because we understand we need the same mercy that God provides for everybody else. I don't care what political party, I don't care what issues that you carry, I don't care where you're at emotionally and physically. God loves you, and we are called to do the same, and we have the same mercy given to us. Stop judging each other and start loving each other. Sacrifice for each other. If you're sprinting, if you got this, woo, I got this. I'm hitting every Bible study. I've been at every prayer group. I've been at everything. If the doors are open, I don't care. I'm here. Right? Like, it's a cool thing. But if there's other people that are not, it is not your job to go, well, they don't get it. They don't understand. They're not holy. You know what your job is? To love them, encourage them, to be there for them. Because who knows? They might be out with their neighbor having a drink with them, not alcohol, right? But having a moment with them going, hey, they're hurting. I'm encouraging. I'm carrying their burdens, and they're heavy, and I'm brokenhearted for them, and I need my church to come with me with this. I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to be with them. They're dealing with things that I never experienced, but I need to be what God has called me in this moment, and I need you, church, to love on me, encourage me, maybe even be the voice of mercy, right? Romans 6, 1 through 4 says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so the grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died in sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Woohoo! Does that sound appealing? Baptized into death? It doesn't sound too appealing to me. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, what this means and what this understands is like the old Ben Alexander that once was, the one that had no hope, the one that sinned all the time, that ran from God, the one that dealt with issues left and right, was angry and spiteful, and that was the key note of like how he would respond to things. If I was disappointed, everybody should be disappointed. Right? Everybody needs to join in on that because they should. Jesus Christ came in and helped me die of that way. The old Ben was no longer. The new Ben is. And I believe within church, we need the same thing sometimes. I think we need to come in and what was, Jesus needs to come in and resurrect it to be new with him. Because many times, if you even look at history, we have done church wrong so many ways. Right? And we're still trying to figure this out. But there are times that we are willing to die on the cross and we think it's for Jesus for things that have no spiritual forbearance. Know your battles, church. Does it in line with God? Does it in line with Jesus' mission? And as a church, we need to know what Jesus calls us to do. And the very first thing that he calls us to do is what? To love him and who? Our neighbor. Right? In everything that we are, in everything that we do, especially on this day that we come together, man, we better be loving God. And I would challenge us, if any of us are struggling with that mindset, if any of us are dealing with, man, this is about me and I left church and I wasn't satisfied and I don't feel good, the message was lame, the songs were lame, and I'm just not feeling God and I'm just not in the desert, I'm telling you right now, your heart is not in the right place. We did not come to serve you this morning. We came to serve our Creator. We came to serve the one that loves us so much that he gave his one and only son for us. You understand that? That's amazing. That's the good news right there. Right? And I would challenge us as a church to understand that this day is set apart. It's set apart because we acknowledge that this is God's day. Every day is God's day, but we acknowledge as we come together that we're here for him, him alone. Now, I want you to know, this is what's awesome about God. He even says it. You can bring your trials, you can bring your hurts, you can bring all the stuff that you're dealing with to this moment, and God will bless it. In fact, as a church, I think we do church for the longest time, and I don't know how to necessarily correct this, but I think church is supposed to be more of us being together and talking about our life and talking about God being involved in our life and loving on us, and the areas are like, hey, this is where I'm struggling. I need mercy. I need accountability. I need your love. Right? I think it's supposed to be less of me speaking at you and more of us speaking to each other, with God being this focus of it. Almost the Last Supper scene. Almost this moment of like, okay, church, let's sit down and have dinner together and let's talk about our day. Where did we see these holy moments of God working? Where was I disappointed that they didn't turn their life to you? What do I have to say? What do I need to do, God? Encourage me. I'm struggling. It would be a wonderful place if we can come and go, this is the generational sin that we face in my family. Pray for me. Hold me accountable with it. Like that's real church. Right? It's not playing on a Sunday morning. It's not being entertained on a Sunday morning. It's not coming here and going and walking out and like and making this comment like, so how was church? Because all of a sudden it turns into a happy meal of whether or not it was good or not. Whether you got the prize in the Happy Meal. Whether you're disappointed with the service. Like, this is the reality. It doesn't matter. Like, we are going to do our best effort to show up for God. To bring a message for God. To worship God. That's why we come. That's why we do our best. But if this becomes a Yelp review, we've totally missed it. Right? The holiness is only from God that makes this a holy church. Nothing we can do but acknowledge that. And the moment we acknowledge it, it changes everything. Understanding God has his reign, God is the reason we come together, that God loves us, and in that, man, I've been a changed human being, and I want to be embraced by all of you, and I want to embrace all of you. I saw somebody post a statistic, and it's 86% of people, when they're invited to church, that's the statistic of being invited to church, will come to church. It's not publication, like, is really low, advertising is real low, programs are really low. If you invite people to be a part of this family, now listen, if you invite people, understanding that you're inviting them to this holy moment with God, not to worry about what the pastor is going to say, not to worry if they're going to play your favorite song, but you're inviting them to this holy moment with God. Imagine having that conversation with them. Like, God loves them so much. They don't know God. They don't understand God. And you think that the only way that you can express it is like, hey, come to our church. Maybe the pastor will preach something that you might catch on to. It's very possible, but I want to know, God has put you in their lives for a reason, church. And he's put a message on your life for a reason. And I will tell you, if you tell them, hey, I go there to meet God in this holy moment, it's set apart from the rest of my week. I focus only on him. The words that we sing are directly to him. The messages that I hear are directly to him. And he makes this holy. Nothing else. In this moment, I'm going to ask Peg to come up, and she's going to play a little on the computer. On that thing, and we're going to do a baptism, and it's going to be kind of like odd. You're just going to sit in here. I challenge you, don't leave. You might have some places to go, but I challenge you, don't leave, because this is such a moment where these people are saying, I believe this. This is a holy moment. I want everybody to know that God is real in my life. And I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to be a part of this. This is a holy moment that we all celebrate together. So this is it. We have two people that are getting baptized. We're getting ready back there, this is my charge for you. Be praying for these two people. Benjamin Webker, Natalie Alexander. Be praying for them as they give their testimony. Be praying for them. As I baptize them, be praying for them. As they come up and show that they are a new person in Jesus Christ, be praying for them. That they are part of this family that is holy because God has made this holy. He sets this apart from everything else. And we do this for Him. Let's pray.